Welcome, everybody, to this first session of the day. Great to see you all here. The topic now is Delve and the Office Graph. And I'm Fredrik Holm, program manager in the Fast Org of Microsoft. So we're the team that developed Delve and the Office Graph. And I worked on the concepts of Delve, the user values, and how it all stitches together. And with me here, I have Helge.
Yes, hi, I'm Helge. I am a program manager, or used to be a program manager in Fast. I was the project manager for this release of Delve. Now I moved over to become an engineering manager working on the Fast APIs. So we're going to have a little bit about APIs as well. And what we're going to talk to you about today is, first of all, we're going to introduce Delve. We're going to talk you through concepts and how you can use Delve in your work. Then we're going to dive in a little bit under the hood, look at what is the Office Graph that's actually powering Delve. How can you do graph queries? What's the graph query language? How do we use REST to do these queries? And also, more specifically, how exactly does Delve work today? So we're going to dig in a little bit and look at how we built Delve. Then we'll move on and talk a little bit about the roadmap and what's coming, and some information about how you can roll out Delve in your organizations.
So there's going to be a bit of treats for you here today. We're going to go deeper than we've ever done before. And we'll also show you some things that will come alive in the service the coming months. So you're in for a treat here. So let's start with the concept of Delve and Office Graph. So Office 365 has a lot of different workloads. You all know email, calendar, Yammer, OneDrive, tasks. There's a lot of value in Office 365 and the different workloads. What we have seen is that a lot of that value is created in silos of that workload. So those workloads are fantastic on their own, but still there are some challenges with them being a silo. So the Office Graph is really about bringing it all together, meaning that what you do in email should influence the other experiences. When you work on files in OneDrive, that should also influence the other workloads. So it's about bringing all of that together as a true ecosystem. And the more you use Office 365, the more you should feel that O365 helps you do your job. So that's kind of the core of what we are aiming for with Delve and the Office Graph. So there's three pillars that we've been focusing on with Delve. One pillar is what we call stay in the now. That is really about how can Office 365 and Delve help you with the information you need at all times, meaning the system should be able to give you what you need to do your job.
So this is a little bit different than what you're used to having in SharePoint, where you typically go and search for information and you actively seek what you want. Here we're trying to give you a sort of discovery experience.
Yeah, and Fast came out of the search business. So we were acquired by Microsoft as a result of what we did in search. But we also acknowledge that if you had to search for something, that was kind of a failure in a way, because then we hadn't provided you what you needed. So Delve and Office Graph is all about then providing you what you need before you go out and seek for it. And that's the discover new information tailored to you from your network, as Helge also pointed out. We want to be proactive, not reactive. There's also a pillar here related to more traditional search. We're calling that find what you need. And what's unique here is that we've reimagined what search can be. First of all, we want search to be instant, meaning that in a search experience, you shouldn't see seconds of latency. You should feel that you get results at the end of your fingertips. The other thing is that it should be personalized. We did see, we worked a lot on search relevancy and how to get the best results on top after performing a query. But finally, we recognized that what's actually the right result depends on who's actually doing the query. So when I'm querying for API versus if Helge queries for API, we're actually expecting different results, because I'm looking for documents talking about APIs from an experience point of view. Now Helge is looking for documents from his team's execution point of view. So understanding that personalized preference when doing a search is something that we've been focusing on a lot. And again, it's Office Graph related. We understand what is important to you as a user, and we provide those tailored search results as that. We'll show you more about that later. And then there's also a third pillar, which is all about people, and it's about discover new connections. So through the Office Graph, we are connecting people, and we map out how people relate to each other and what they are working on. And through that, we are able to give you insight about your colleagues in a way that makes it possible for you to have more fruitful knowledge sharing and more fruitful collaboration. And we'll actually discuss more scenarios related to that later on, for instance, meeting preparations and so on. So we'll do a demo now of what is actually available in Delve now. And we'll also then dive deeper into the details here later on. On how all this is done. So first, what you see in Delve is that we have reimagined how files and how you can browse information in O365. You see visually rich cards. We've been aiming for delightful user experience that should be simple enough for everyone to use. What you see here is a collection of, now I'm logged in as Julia White on our demo tenant. We're also working, by the way, we're also working on some demo packs that will be available to the market so that you can install those demo packs and try actually this kind of tenant out yourself. So that should be available quite soon. So what you see here, I'm logged in as Julia White here. What you see here is then a collection of files that are important to Julia. And important to Julia here is a combination of three things. It's what her colleagues and her team and people she interact with are working on. So we proactively give her an insight into what's buzzing in her network. Then there's also the aspect of what we call distant and trending. It could be people that she's not necessarily directly connected with in any way, but something is trending in the other part of the organization. So think of that as more a discovery scenario where she may discover interesting information, but it's not necessarily directly related to her work. And then the third thing is actually more a vanity concept. So if any of her files are being viewed a lot and becoming popular, we'll surface that as well. So in this initial kind of the home feed, the start screen here, it's a combination of those types of files. So if we dive into this, you see that we're surfacing here who's been modifying a document. Here on this document, you see that Garth has modified it yesterday. If we go to the rightmost document here, you see that Sarah Davis modified this on Monday. You see the document title. You also see a document visualization. What we've done here is, since our users are kind of the memory is very graphical, and what we've done here is we're pulling out graphical elements from the documents so that if you've seen that document before in the presentation like here, you will actually recognize the document in the feed as well. Kind of, oh, I recognize that picture. I'm interested in the content of that document because it's related to some technology I'm working on or something like that. So we pull out these pictures and show that to users because we've seen that that actually increases how our users can relate to the content of the document. And that actually creates a better match than a lot of text, for instance. So, and we've also seen internally now that people are adding more and more illustrative pictures to their documents. So the documents they actually produce are becoming richer and better as well. So it's kind of it's a viral effect in a way, how that is evolving. You also see here what document type it is. You see what team site it lives in. So this is then the NOAA Origin team site. You also see that we're calling out if something is located in the OneDrive. So this is Garth North's OneDrive in the middle here, Julia White's OneDrive. And if we look at this document here, the Litware sales proposal in the middle, which is then my own document in a way, you see that this has now received 35 views. And that is why it's bubbling on top of my feed now, because people are starting to read that. So even though I modified it almost a week ago, it's actually going viral. And that's why we choose to promote that here. We also can use Delve to find back to things that you have been working on earlier. So my work is one way to find back to the documents that you've been modifying. And that's a great way to actually see in a visual way what files you're looking for. And then we also have Shared with Me, which is files that have been explicitly shared with me, so that you can find back to those as well. I mentioned search initially. And please pay close attention now. I promised you instant search results at your fingertip. And you can try to compare with the traditional SharePoint search later on. But I don't think you can match what I'll show you now. I'm setting high expectations here. Hope we can deliver. So if I now search for Contoso, for instance, you see immediately it is returned. So what is happening here is that, first of all, let's search for something else. Let's search for NOAA. And what you saw there is that first it immediately gave me one card, and then you saw all the cards filling in. So what it does is that immediately you get results that are very close to me, kind of that I'm connected to through the graph. And then we're actually backfilling with traditional search, which is still ranked according to those same concepts, but it's going broader. So we're focusing on an instant search that is personalized, and but still are searching all of your document libraries and OneDrives and so on. And another great example for the search box is people search. We've seen kind of how many here have searched for content by doing a from colon query in your mailbox? Quite a few. And what we see is a typical pattern is that when you receive a file or some information, what people tend to start with is they go to Outlook, they do from colon, because that is searching through their content focused on the people that gave it to them. So the mind of people relates to information through other people. So if Helge sends me something, I won't remember actually where I put that information, but I'll remember that Helge gave it to me. And so we've been focusing a lot on how to actually utilize that in Delve as well, kind of that mental model of people being in the center of how humans are structuring information. So, for instance, if I'm looking for some documents from Gem Icon, for instance, I can do C space A here, and I'm searching through all the people in the tenant. Gem Icon is then selected, and I can here then dive into his documents. And this is actually a combination of documents that he is working on, that I have access to, documents that he has shared to me, but also documents that his team is working on. So on that page, you'll also see Gem as a proxy for his network again, all filtered down to what I'm allowed to see, of course. But through that, we do see a lot of interesting scenarios. I mentioned in the introduction meeting preparations. What we see with the customers that have adopted Delve now is that kind of the feedback we're receiving is that more meetings are becoming decisions meetings instead of more discussion meetings, because when people invite to a meeting, before that meeting, they check out the different meeting participants in Delve, and they get an update on what are they working on these days. So people are actually up to date before a meeting. And that also means that they can go sooner into a decision discussion and reach a conclusion faster. So it changes the dynamic on how they work and how they collaborate. So it's a great way of sharing information without having to publish it. Kind of the users, they don't have to send it to other people and say it's ready now for you to receive. You can more be up to date as the content develops. But yeah, and what we also see is that the people page here is one of the really, really valuable ones that our most faithful users are returning to this over and over again. And we're also picking some users on the left-hand side based on how often you connect with people for you to easily navigate back to them. I think that concludes the demo.
Yeah, so if I dare attempt to summarize your demo, Fredrik, some of the main features of Delve are that you have a feed where you get documents that are potentially interesting to you based on who you are working with and what your colleagues are doing, and also what documents are worked on a lot. Delve is very people-centric, so you can go to somebody's page and you'll see documents that are trending around them that they're working on and that their peers and colleagues are working on. And that Delve also has introduced a new search as you type feature, which is very convenient to quickly find what you're looking for.
It's a good summary, Helge. Thanks. So I'll walk you through kind of on a more conceptual stage how that feed you saw actually, how we came, how we aggregate across the data that actually produced that feed. So imagining this being a team of people, it's kind of independent of org structure and all of it. This is could be someone from marketing, someone from engineering, someone from support, and they all work together somehow. We have Katie, Amanda, Julia, and Jake. And they interact in different ways. And what we do through the Office Graph is that we are starting to understand how they relate to then optimize their experience so that we can serve them with the content and the information that is most useful for them at all times. So let's go through an example of actions that are leading up to a card ending up in the feed. So it starts with, for instance, Katie creates a document, Northwind proposal. Amanda then views that document. That's a signal. What's important here is that the fact that Amanda viewed that document is only visible for Amanda. No one else can actually see that she viewed it. But in the machine learning algorithms, we're using that insight to calculate and aggregate across several signals. So it's kind of a reinforcing signal, but that signal isn't explicitly available for anyone but Amanda. But still, it's a signal that we're using to say, okay, Northwind proposal, it's an interesting document because someone else than the author actually viewed it. Then Julia modifies it. The fact that Julia modifies it is a strong connection between then Julia and Katie, because co-authoring is first of all also a public signal. Kind of, you can do that through PowerPoint online today. You can see who's authoring documents at the same time and so on, and who has been authoring it. So it's a public signal, and it's also kind of a strong signal. It's way stronger than just a view. But and since Amanda and Julia and so on are connected to Jake, what actually happens then is that Northwind proposal, created by then Katie Gurry, ends up in Jake's feed. So as a result of those signals, we aggregate across those signals, and we then conclude on the fact that it should be surfaced to Jake because he is connected to the right people. And Helgi will go way deeper into that later in this presentation. But this is kind of the appetizer so far.
Great. Thanks, Frederick. So that was a little bit about Dell, the first experience powered by the Office Graph. And now we're going to talk a bit more about the graph that's below here. So starting with a quote, Dijkstra is famous for graph algorithms. So I thought this quote was appropriate, and I kind of like the quote too. So the question of whether machines can think is about as relevant as the question of whether submarines can swim. So that's a little bit from the master of graphs. So what is the Office Graph? Well, traditionally we had lots of silos in the enterprise. In any sort of enterprise software, we had silos, and with the Office Graph, we are connecting these things. We are connecting the silos and linking the entities together. And the way we're doing this is, if you imagine the Office Graph being a storage layer, it's what's connecting you to all your documents, to all your colleagues. And this is done while you still work in the workloads you prefer. So you edit documents in PowerPoint, you work in SharePoint, you work in email, you work in Yammer. And the Office Graph is simply a storage layer collecting all this. So we say that the Office Graph connects the dots in the enterprise. And more specifically, we do that by adding semantics to all these relationships. So what we mainly store is we store nodes and we store edges. And the nodes, they represent various entities in the enterprise: documents, groups, SharePoint sites, tags, people. And the edges, they represent either relationships between these nodes or signals. So with relationships, I mean that you are reporting to someone or you are working with someone. That's a relationship in the graph. If you have modified the document, then that's a representation of an action. So that's sort of a different type of edge. But this is really the basics of the Office Graph. We are collecting and storing information about what's going on in the enterprise. So to be more specific, signals or actions. is what people are doing. So in this example here, Katie, she's an actor. She's taken an action on a particular item, and that action was in this case a view action, and the item was the plan.powerpoint. So this is what we call a signal, and some of these signals we store permanently in the graph as edges. Other signals we only use in analytics, and we use them for a while, and then they expire, and we don't really keep them around forever. And viewing is typically one of those things that we don't need to keep around forever, but we might need the aggregated count of views, for example, because it's very interesting with documents that are viewed by a large group of people across the organization. And documents with few view counts, they're probably only interesting to those people who are actually in those organizations that actually view the documents. So some signals we persist forever, so other signals we just use as input into analytics and big data analysis. And these signals here are all the signals we use today. So if you go into Office 365 and you do work in different workloads, these are the signals that we will capture in the Office graph. So for example, click person happens if I go into Delve and I click on Frederick. Then I send the signal, Helge clicked on Frederick. And that that signal is then stored, and it will be used to provide me better documents in my feed. Because typically, I want to have documents in my feed that are related to the people I click on. There is a stronger signal here called Elevate. So if I first click on Frederick and I am on his page, if I then click on the document there, we call that an Elevate, and we send a signal that I actually looked at something that was on his page. So that's a stronger version of that signal, really.
And what's also important there is that this decays over time. So it could be that Helge and I are working on something together now, this week or this month. But then next week, we're moving on to something else. And these signals are then also decaying over time. So there's a half-life concept where a click today is important, but that doesn't count that much maybe next month.
Yeah, it's very interesting you mentioned that, actually, because I just changed from one department to another, and I basically changed all my peers to some new peers. And the first week it was kind of frustrating because I still got all the old stuff in my Dell feed. But then as I was working with new people, I started to see my new colleagues in my left-hand side in Dell, and I got documents from those people. So I could really see the effect of that halftime of signals, that things age out, things aren't relevant forever, but things are very relevant sort of this week typically.
And we've done that because what we've also seen is that the action unfollow is kind of uncommon. So you just follow more people if you depend on explicit signals. So that's why we're instead monitoring and kind of mining who you're actually working with and updating your experience according to that as you move on to new tasks and new projects.
Yeah, I'd also like to mention a couple of other signals here. So the shown document is a signal that's sent when I actually see a document in my feed or in Dell. That's a very weak signal, but I have seen it. And the open document is when I actually open such a document. So that's a stronger signal that I was interested in this particular item, and probably also that I was interested in those people that created that item.
So what kind of edges do we have? Because now Helge talked about signals. Then we have a different concept, which we call edges. What's kind of somewhat confusing here is that for some cases it's a one-to-one relationship, for others there's not. But edges is actually what we store in the Office graph. Signals are used as input through the analytics engine to produce edges. So we're collecting all those signals. Some are weak, some are strong, some are between people, some are between people and content. But we're using all those signals then to calculate some edges that can be used to traverse the graph. Some examples here are, for instance, the working with Edge that you see going from Amanda to Jake here in the lower left corner and up to Jake, working with. Working with, we calculate based on signals like that they're actually emailing each other, they're meeting each other, they are co-authoring and so on. And across all those signals, we understand that they are actually working with each other. There's also a weight to that, so we can differentiate the different relationship strength in a way. You also see a padlock next to working with, and that is because that is based on private signals, like email. Kind of when I'm sending someone an email, that is actually a private signal. So that is only used to improve my own experience as Amanda, in a way. So only Amanda gets a better experience based on that working with Edge. There's also an alternative here. If you see the link going from Jake to Julia, the working with public Edge. That is a very similar Edge, but that is calculated without using the private signals like email and so on. There we're only using the public signals like co-author, follow, and other things that are already available in the service. You also see here org manager or colleague or direct. All of those are public edges, and they are available and used if you sync your org structure and so on through AD and actually set that up in 0365. Others, kind of working with public and working with edges are good examples of edges that are calculated across a lot of signals. The view edge here, which is also a private edge, has more of a one-to-one relationship between the signal and the edge. The same with modified. That's actually one action ending up with one edge. Kind of Frederick modified that document. That is both a signal and an edge. And then there's the trending around me that you see in the lower right corner. That is then what my network in general are working on, and a combination of what's trending, what's new, so a lot of different elements to calculate what is actually trending around me now. And that is also public. So this is the list of the edges that we most commonly use to traverse the graph. And the IDs on the right-hand side, we've called them out because if you would like to do some edge traversing edge traversing and graph traversing yourself, the IDs are really the references to use to do that. So this is just mapped out in a different way, and we've provided that slide as a good reference slide for you. I've talked a bit about the public and private signals and edges, and this just kind of summarizes that there are some private and some public. Presented to me is a signal that we're working on. Kind of if you're in a meeting, PowerPoint may actually send signals to the Office Graph that you've been presented a specific document, so that after the meeting you don't have to ask who presented it, where did you put that document? You'll have it in Delve automatically. So we're working with the PowerPoint team on that. But it's a private signal, kind of. No one else should know that you have been presented for that document.
But actually, Delve has set a new standard for meetings in FAST, at least. Because if I, when I am entering a meeting, cannot find whatever is presented in Delve, there is something wrong. It means that whoever is presenting this has this document on their laptop or on their desktop. It's not stored in OneDrive or SharePoint or anywhere where it should be. So now I can sort of say that immediately, hey, this isn't in Delve, how come? And it's always, the answer is always, I just took a local copy and I forgot to put it where I should. Yes. So this really has set a new standard for how we can find things that are used in meetings.
That's correct. Another kind of edge, which is private then, is again email shared with me is a public signal. Public groups is of course public. So what's just important here is that there's a clear differentiation between what's private, what is only relevant to you and only used to drive your own experience, versus the public signals that are used to also influence other people's experience. Also important is that permissions in source system is of course respected, meaning that when you set ACLing in SharePoint, that is respected. You'll never see anything that you can't search for already. So when you go to Search Center and you actually search for a document, you'll see the same as in Delve. It's just a different way of surfacing it in a proactive way instead of a reactive way. So permissions are always respected. And what's also just a side note there is that a document may be shown as trending around the user without access to that document. It means that a document may be trending around Helge, but Helge can't actually see that document. But since I can see that document, it looks like it's trending around him. But his colleagues are then working on it, but he's not. So just be aware of that as a side note when you also use the experience and go to people's pages. We're also offered functionality for users to opt out of this. So if they don't want us to collect the signals and have that kind of Delve experience, they can turn it off. And you can also do that on the tenant level. So there's a setting called Office Graph in the tenant level in tenant admin where you can disable Office Graph all up.
Okay, so
Helge, yeah. Will you show us the under the hood material?
Yeah, we thought that we could have a look at how Delve is actually built up more on the inside. Because since Office Graph is this new foundational layer across all of O365, you can consider Delve an example workload, and then you can create your own, something similar. So let's have a look at what Delve actually is and how it's built. First, just have to start with this third law of Arthur C. Clarke. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So hopefully, during this next couple of slides, we'll explain enough so that this isn't magic. So Delve, as you've seen, is currently released as a web application. So it's a standard CSS, HTML5, JavaScript, REST-based app. And we are focusing a lot of the features around three endpoints here. So three different REST calls. The first is a graph search. So today with SharePoint, you can do a full text query. But with this new feature here, which is still the same SharePoint search endpoint, you can actually do a graph query. So we can, in addition to having full text queries, you can specify how you want to navigate things in the graph. So I can start with myself, and I can follow edges of particular types and get data back from those edges. So that's something we use heavily in Delve. The second feature we use is the preview image feature. So by calling out to this this URL here, we can get preview images from the documents back. And that's utilized in all the Delve cards and everywhere in the experience. And finally, we send a lot of signals from Delve. So whenever you click on something in Delve, there will usually be sent a signal explaining this click or storing this click in the system so that it can be used for analytics. And then later, feed that back and provide you a better Delve experience. So those are the building blocks of Delve. You also saw that we had this search as you type feature, and that's based heavily on caching. So we drag in a lot of data from you. So we pull in all the people that you're related to, all the documents that are related to you, things that are really close to you. And we cache all of that, and we cache everything you do in the browser. So that gives a very good experience and sort of a search as you type experience. So if you look at the actual traffic pattern, we typically do these three things. So whenever you click on, for example, your home feed, we'll start by sending a search. So we send a query to the backend, or sometimes we send more than one query, and we get documents back. So then we get the list of documents. These are the ones that should be shown now for this user. And then we fire off a signal. The user clicked on this particular view, the home feed, or some person in the people list. And we also start loading document previews. So if you see, you can scroll down in Delve and see up to 36 documents on the same board. And we fire off the preview request for the documents on top first, so we don't you don't have to wait for the things on top. And then as you scroll down, we'll fire off more and more requests for you. But we don't fire off everything at once, because that would be a really waste of bandwidth. But this is really the pattern we're following for all of Delve. We were asking for what documents to show, finding that out based on a couple of queries, and then we're sending some signals and getting the request for the images. What should also be noted, of course, is that there is an backend here. So there is an Office Graph backend where we do lots of analytics based on those signals, and we generate some edges, and those are the ones that actually give you what you see. But that's sort of the backend side of this story. So now I thought I'd show you this in more detail. So how many here like to press F12 in their browser? Yeah, that's good. So I like to do that. I also like to pull things apart and see how they look on the inside. But that might just be me. So here I am in Delve. If I press F12 here, I'll be able to see the network traffic. And everything that goes across the wire from my browser to our backend server will be available here. That's sort of the beauty with these kind of web solutions, is that you guys are able to pick apart what we have done in Microsoft. So if I click on a person here, we can see the requests are counting, and I'm receiving 64.5 kilobytes of data. So that's a lot of stuff. You can scroll through here and see all the different types of requests we sent. But let's start with the most important ones. So first, we have to send some queries to figure out which data we want to show the user. So there's a query here. If I imagine to click it, yeah. So this is a somewhat hard to read query, but let me scroll down here. This is a query sent to the good old SharePoint search front end. And you can see there's a query here listing all the file extensions we want. So we want to doc, docx, PowerPoint, PowerPointX, etc. And then, in addition, inside the properties bag here, there's something new. So if you're familiar with SharePoint Search and the protocol there, this is a new thing. So we're sending in a graph query in addition. So what this graph query says is that now I'd like the following. I'd like edges coming out from this particular actor. So this then happens to be the actor ID of Michael Atalia that I clicked on here. And the actions we want is the 10-20, which is the trending around. So now I'm asking for the trending around edges on this person. And then, due to some technicalities, I'm asking for a couple of other things here too. I do hope we will be able to document those things shortly, but it's basically around what sort of text we want to show on the document card. And then we're ranking the results based on the weight on this edge. So what we're saying is, from this person, there are lots of edges going out, and each of those edges have a weight, and that weight is a number, and the higher that number is, the more important this trending around is. So by sorting on this, we get sort of the most trending things first.
And what's also worth mentioning there is that on the edge, you can actually choose to sort on weight or time. So when you build things on top of the Office Graph, that's actually an option.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then there are two more queries here. this second query is a query to, let's scroll down and see. I don't have to tell you, but you can see. So it's the same file extensions we're asking for. But this time, we're using the same actor ID with two different edge types. So anyone remember what 1003 was? No, I didn't think so. So that's the modified edge. So now we're asking for documents actually modified by this person. Because what we want to put on his page is a mix of things that are trending around in him and things that he actually modified. And then there's the third query, which is quite similar, which also adds some more documents that this person have authored. So that's the query part. If you look at the signals we actually sent now, the signals we can see down here. So here, every signal has is a triplet of actor, action type, and the item. In this case, the actor is implicit because it's the current user. I'm not allowed to send the signal on behalf of someone else, so it's the currently logged in user. So the actor is null. The action type here is clicked. And then the item I clicked was Michael. So I clicked on Michael here. So that's the signal that was sent to the signal store. And then there's another signal here. In this case, let's see what that is. So this is a shown signal. And the shown signal is the weak signal that says that I was shown a number of results. So here there are just a bunch of document IDs. So those IDs were picked out from the query. And then they're listed here that I've actually seen those documents. If I take a look at some of the other things going across the wire here, we'll see that get preview is a very popular request. So we use a lot of these get preview calls. So there's basically one for every document. So this is kind of interesting, because if you are building something on top of the graph, you might want to visualize the documents in some way, and then you can call this endpoint and get those images. So that was really all I want to show you about the data traffic here. And it kind of showed the pattern. Whenever I click on the home feed or on a person page, we'll fire off queries to get the actual results. We'll send signals, and we'll ask for document previews. In addition, if we do search as a type, you'll see that as you're typing, we'll send off queries, and then we'll cancel some of those queries if you're typing faster than the queries return. But it's basically incrementally sending off queries and returning results on the page as we go. Okay, so that was a little bit about how Delve is actually built, and we really want to inspire you to build and extend this this solution, which leads us to extensibility. And we have another quote from Arthur C. Clarke: "The only way of discovering the limits of the possible is to venture a little way past them into the impossible." So please do that with the Office Graph. That would be really nice. We have today we have something called the Office 365 Preview APIs. That's a set of APIs that's in a preview mode, meaning we don't guarantee that they will be shipped as is. I think you can say we guarantee that they're very likely to be changed. But inside there, the second link on this page is about how you can query the Office Graph using REST. So we created a minor extension to SharePoint Search where you can send in a graph query, as is underlined with a blue line at the bottom of this slide. And this documentation explains all the edge types that we had. It lists the table we had earlier, and it explains how you can send these graph queries and get graph results back. So I also have a couple of examples. Let's see here. If you want to get 10 items, the first ones that are related to you, you can just send out a query with actor me. So these first couple of lines here, that's the REST syntax for getting back all the documents that are related to you. Actually, you don't get them all. You get 10 by default, but it's a minor detail. if you want to get all the items that you have modified or viewed, you can do a query like the next one here, where you specify actions 1001 or 1003, which are the edge types for modified and viewed. And if you want to have the first 10 items that you have recently viewed and that another user has recently modified, you can specify an intersection of those two sets with an and, like on this last example here. So that's a pretty powerful way of finding things you have in common with other users. So that was REST. We've had some questions about client-side OMs. We don't actually support the client-side OM for this preview API. It's mainly because we don't have that as part of our test matrix, so we don't test it before you make any updates. But it is actually working, and one of the MVPs called Mikael Svensson here wrote a nice blog posting about how you can actually do this from the client-side OM. Basically, you just use the SharePoint client-side OM to do a query, and you set the graph query like he's showing in that example. So it's working, but it's not really supported.
So that's a great intro to the API, Helge. And what's important here is that the graph API will change. We're doing a lot of investment, and Helge's team in particular is doing a lot of investments to improve the tooling here. So what's important here is that if you build on top of the Office Graph today, be prepared to change and optimize that going forward. But of course,
please do so.
If you like so. And some partners have started exploring this already. One of the partners that's been working with us through our preview phase has been Mavention. And they've actually released several SharePoint apps and some Windows Phone apps on top of the Office Graph. And you should check them out. So some of them are based on kind of how to refine documents using Windows Phone. There's one here which is great, the SharePoint app, that allows you to test your own graph queries, but also out-of-the-box graph queries on top of Delve as you know it today. So that's a SharePoint app you may try out on top of SharePoint Online. And then there's also something they did that shows you the popular items that you haven't viewed yet. So it's kind of removing everything you have viewed and filters down to things that you actually should be reading. They're also working on another one which is more focused on kind of what's actually trending inside a team site and so on. So it's more focused as well. So there's there are ways to do this on top of the existing Office Graph, and we see more and more interest in that, which we really appreciate. There are also some blog articles that explains how this can be done. So you'll find one on msdn.com by Disaigas, and then also Waldeck at Mavention has written one that we recommend you take a look at.
Yes, and we always get the question, okay, great, so I can send queries, but how do I get content in there? I want my own stuff in there. So there isn't any publicly available sort of content push API where you can send in random text, get it indexed, and put into the graph. However, any document that you upload to SharePoint is automatically part of the Office Graph. So we recommend that you use the SharePoint APIs we already have. There's the client-side OM that ships with the SharePoint 2013. You can use that to upload documents. So, for example, create a folder in the document library and upload it there on behalf of the user. Do that in your app. Or you can try out the new Files REST API, which is part of the Office 365 API's previews. I guess this API was actually announced yesterday, so...
Yeah. And actually, we have a lot of good developers, of course, in our org. And what they did, I just want to show you, they did kind of this Instagram for the enterprise based on that. So what
yeah,
they
so
did,
this was when we had a hackathon thing?
We had a hackathon. So kind of, and with the hackathon, we set aside 2 or 3 days, and the developers can do whatever they like. And what they did is they created Windows Phone apps. And one of the Windows Phone apps was... basically, you take a picture, You upload it to OneDrive for Business, and it's then available through Dell. So it's kind of an Instagram for the enterprise. So you see, this is what I took this morning. First, when Helga and I arrived here, when we started the preparations for this session, then we took a picture of the TechEd crew. They were really wondering why we needed their picture, but thanks for that. And then when the audience started arriving this morning. And so took that picture, uploaded it to OneDrive for Business, and here it is.
So you didn't actually upload, did you?
Yes.
You just took the picture.
I just took the picture here, and the app did the rest. So this is then an example of an app that has been built that uses that upload API to add richness and content to the Office Graph. And that can be done with any kind of source system. The phone is just one example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely possible to get content in. And then how do you get signals in? Well, if you look on the web, we haven't documented the signal API, but it's there, as you've seen. And use it at your own risk. What we're going to do is we're going to throttle this API so we're not overwhelmed by what you do. And what you really risk is messing up your own Office Graph. If you send too many signals that don't really make sense, our analytics might interpret that in a way and add edges that doesn't give you the Delve experience you want. So be a little bit cautious, but we have this. The API is actually there, as you can see from your browser, and I'm sure someone will create a blog posting on how to actually use it. Here's a REST example for how to do that. You'll also see that if you just do F12 in Dell today. This is an example where we're sending the elevate signal on a particular person. There's obviously some auth headers and things you have to have in order to get this to work too, but it's basically what you need here. Okay, and then...
So, what we've shown you now is kind of with Delve and Office Graph has been focused on OneDrive for Business and SharePoint as you know it. We're also pulling a lot of signals from Exchange. We're working very close. I'll actually show a small demo later on with Yammer as well on how all of that will work together. We're working with the Office clients, how we can collect signals from them. So, and what's important here is that what we are aiming for is that Office Graph to span everything that happens in Office 365, but also then the extensibility work Helga and his team is working on will enable you in easier ways to insert your own content as well. In addition to what's available today. So the goal here is really to do all of it, even though what we've shown here today has been more file-focused.
Yes, so as Fredrik said, we are working a lot on extensibility. The Graph Query language is available right now. We are working also on hybrid solutions where you can have your on-premises installation and your SharePoint Online installation side by side, so or your Office 365 subscription. So it's actually possible to start a gradual migration for large enterprises. You don't have to go all in to get to use the goodness of the new features. So we're going to look at sort of ways to have APIs and extensibility across everything we've shown for features here, including analytics, which is a really important part. If you want your line of business data in, you also want to be able to do your custom analytics on that data, probably not just our built-in analytics.
And I'll also give you a sneak peek in kind of when it comes to what you'll see in the service the next month. So one of the things that we've seen is that there's a lot of interesting information surfaced in the feed, but it's difficult to have the time to read it when you see it. So we're in the process of adding a concept of a social reading list. So here I can add, maybe I'll add this document, the social workplace, Boston expansion, and next step on strategy. So I'll add that to my social reading list. When going here, I can actually see those files then, so that it's easier for me to go back in a more focused view. And what we've also seen is that the mobile experiences that we are developing these days that kind of being able to triage through the feed, your commute, for instance, you go through your feed, you're tagging what you would like to read up on later. When you get to your desk in the office, you can read up on those five documents. Those are the kind of scenarios that we're focusing on there. Another thing that we're focusing on is to be able to collect information into collections, to also add some structure to it. So here you see that I can, kind of the California Q3, Q4 campaign, I can collect that and I'll put that into weekly sync, for instance. So there's a way to here collect different information. If I go to Contoso Proposals, I see then all documents that have been added to that collection. And here I can follow that collection, receiving notifications when those items are being changed or if new items are being added and so on. We're also doing some work here on the Yammer side. So if I go to this document here, for instance, you see that we're pulling in documents that or the comments that have been that are referring to this document in Yammer, so that we actually can see that directly from here. There's more in on the way as well, but that's what you'll see now.
It's a little bit sneak peek, and it's not sure it's going to be looking exactly like this.
No, this is hot from the press. An important thing here is kind of just mentioning Delavan Office Graph is available for users with SKUs A2 to A4 and G1 to G4 SKUs. So those users with those SKUs will see Delve today, actually. And what's important here is that it is available now. What you need to do is you need to enable first release in the tenant. Use Exchange Online to generate the signals. Start using OneDrive. The magic of Delve really comes across when you use it for your daily work. It's difficult to see the value in a demo tenant. It's difficult to mimic human behavior. So use it in the tenant you're using on a daily basis, and you'll see the magic. But enable first release, and it takes approximately 24 hours, and then you'll have it available in your tenant. Highly recommend you to do that.
Yes, and that brings us to the wrap-up. So we've shown you the features of Delve. Delve is really about what matters to you based on activities and the people you work with. You can discover things that you wouldn't otherwise be aware of, and you can easily find things that are relevant to you. This is all built on the Office Graph. The Office Graph is a fabric across O365. Storing nodes and edges to capture all of this, where you can send graph queries through REST today. And what we have right now is Delve in a first release version, so you have to switch that first release flip to see it. And currently, you will see data from OneDrive for Business and SharePoint Online. We are obviously working to extend what actually shows up in Delve, but this is what we have right now. And that's really all we had as well. So we'll just show a couple of slides that everyone has to show. So there's more material available on Channel 1 and other learning networks here. There's something called the Office 365 Technical Network. That's a great place to ask questions and meet peers and Microsoft employees. Lots of Office 365 material that's related to this. And please fill in an evaluation form. That's very useful for us. If you're ever sent to an event like this again, then we'll know what to do different. Please scan this code and give us some evaluations. And if you have questions, we have approximately 10 minutes for questions inside here, and then we'll move outside in the corridor if you have more questions. Otherwise, we'll also be at the Ask the Expert session and various other sessions down in the exhibition hall. So, thank you.
Any questions? Who's the first one?
We actually have some wristbands to an office party tomorrow, so we'll give the first one a wristband.
Very, very simple question, actually two questions. One on the people and whether we in any way we're linking to the following things within my sites, so either following sites or documents, or is it purely based on events?
So follow a person and a document is used as a signal.
Okay.
In the graph.
Okay.
But it's just one of many signals. And that's back to the fact that people, again, don't unfollow that often.
Okay, so there's no higher priority for things that we follow versus things that we're just interacting
it's
with.
It's a signal that will elevate other signals. And so it's kind of one plus one signal equals three in a way. If you have disconnected signals, that is less valuable than kind of if I follow you and I'm emailing you and we're in a lot of meetings. So kind of when we stack all of them, that kind of connection is then stronger and stronger.
And do we do it recursively for customers who have Delve rolled out now, who already are following quite a lot?
So what we do is we collect all these signals in O365. So what you actually performed or follows and so on in the past should actually be taken into account.
Okay.
So yes.
Okay.
It's based on the existing signals in the fabric.
Perfect. And just a quick one, really simple. It's all about documents. In any way, would we ever see list items in there as well?
We're going through what kind of items that provides a lot of value. And list items is one example. We're also looking into kind of attachments from Exchange, opening up for CRM records from CRM systems and so on. But more and more information into the graph is very high on our priority list.
Thank you.
You'll get the wristband.
I've got a question about the weighting of opening a document. So you get some documents that turn up in search because they match all the search terms. And when you open the document, it's out of date or it's irrelevant or it's badly written. And quite often we have mechanisms in different systems for saying, I like this document. There are very few mechanisms for saying, I hate this document. But also, if you have a document that's surfaced through search, collecting the fact that many people have opened it tends to surface it to more people, so more people open it and you get a feedback loop that promotes bad documents. How do you overcome that problem?
So the views alone kind of is a very weak signal. And that's why we're actually emphasizing more on signals like modifiers, kind of has it been modified often and has it been modified recently, and how many people have been involved with modifying it. So those are very strong signals. Other signals that are stronger than a view alone is a share signal, meaning that if you've shared it through an email or it's referenced through Yammer and so on. So we have that tier where view is a very weak signal, but we do acknowledge view signals when you reach a critical mass, yep. when something goes viral. But it's correct, as you say, kind of that may be a challenge. But with the decade we have, kind of the half-life of a view is very rapid. So you need to really hit that curve for the view signal to pollute the experience alone.
Yeah. Okay, so it's partly on weighting that the view has a low weight, but also it's that weight decays with time.
Yes.
Okay. And there's also one more mechanism. We also look at the dwell time. So if you open a document and then immediately click on something else, then that's a signal that, hey, maybe you weren't that interested in that first thing. So we look at the interval between your actions. And so we call it dwell time, how long you actually dwelled over this particular document.
Yeah. Okay. But great question. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hello. Most of us are not starting from scratch. So is there any way to use this Delve in a more hybrid scenario? We are having an on-premise SharePoint service and stuff like this running for years. Is there any way to integrate this in the search?
So we haven't yet released any hybrid solution. It's something we have on our roadmap. What most customers typically do is they start using O365 for their new projects. So they use their on-premises installation for what they have today, and they, as they start doing new stuff, they move that to the cloud, and then they get the benefit from the new features.
But you expect something will be coming in this direction?
Yes, we totally acknowledge the usefulness of that.
Okay, thank you.
Is it possible to put some enterprise news to the I'm thinking about HR department news or public relation, because all I have seen is information from people I connected, but is enterprise which
So we're working on some concepts where you actually can, from a more publishing perspective, push things through the feed. And we're working on different algorithms for that. So kind of the video portal that was announced during the SharePoint conference this spring, and also something called The Point there, which is more of a publishing publishing concept, will actually have a different ranking algorithm where it's possible to more push content to the users and allowing it to go viral. But what we believe in that it should give an opportunity to go viral, but if people aren't interested, then it doesn't earn the right to be surfaced. So you can give it an opportunity to be a good content, but even if it has been written by HR, it may be bad, and then it will kind of decay out. So HR still needs to do a fantastic job in creating interesting content.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? If not,
one more.
One more, good. I think we'll take that question and then we'll be outside in the corridor if anyone wants to chat or have more questions.
I would like to ask you if there is any integration plan for SharePoint News Feed, SharePoint Search. Now we can see Delve, we have Yammer Feed. So will all this be integrated into one search and one feed in the future?
So that was several questions in one. So yes, our vision is definitely to have all of this information available in the Office Graph. Whether it makes sense to have results from every workload across O365 show up in Delve, that's hard to say. I think we'll have to experiment a little. Right now, the idea we had was that we want the search in Delve to be about content that you could potentially see in Delve. Not necessarily things that you have in your Delve feed, but things that you could have surfaced there. So it's not for sure that that's where we want to show results across everything, but we definitely want to provide good search in Office 365 across all the workloads you mentioned. So that is indeed on the roadmap. And today, everything you have in SharePoint search, you can search for in Delve as well. But it's a different type of search. It's ranked differently, so the results come in a different order. But you can find everything you can in SharePoint search in Delve today.
Okay,
thanks.